is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, in every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord, amen. You who have risen from the dead, you are Lord. Hallelujah, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time, say He is Lord, He is Lord. In my life, He is Lord. Amen. I know He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee must bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Father, we exalt you tonight. We praise you. We magnify you. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to gather tonight on site, online. Thank you. Thank you also for the privilege of your mighty hand upon us to speak, to hear, to receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you because we cannot be the same again. Because every word of God is full of living power. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So good to see everyone and good to be here on Thursday, isn't it? Thursdays are some of the best days to be in church, okay? Wednesdays for some churches, Thursday for us. And maybe I'll start off, I'm going to speak, and teach along certain lines. But I think it's just about right that I also start off, you know, with my testimonies. You know, it's been a good time. I shared some things, you know, the other day, but let's share some other things. For most of the time, because it wasn't even planned that I would be there, I think I preached primarily for Reverend Lake Confessional, and most of the time, he didn't even know I was still around. You know, so periodically, we'd say, ah, where are you? Then I say, oh, I'm here. I say, you are still here. I didn't know you were still here. So most people didn't know. I just didn't communicate. I was just walking, you know, silently, you know, because each week I kept believing God that I'll be back, you know, that week. But I remember preaching for them earlier in the year, and one lady came then, you know, saw me and spoke to me about, you know, desiring the fruit of the womb, and I prayed with her, and I was there in August, and she came to me at the end of the service and said, God has done it. You know, so waiting for the final result. Hallelujah. So I will be there to chop rice. Amen. Hallelujah. But in that time also, you know, with our job, which depends a lot on grants and all of that, God has been amazing. You know, how I was just working remotely. So most people are like, you're working remotely, one more, two more. but we're working remotely. And in that time, I can't tell you the funding we got, so that no kidnapper will come. You know, but God was just amazing. We got enough funds to start our building project in Abuja. And I mean, when I say enough, I mean enough. So in the building project, it's a big, vast land. I'm talking about the office, you know, not the secular office. Vast land. And when we say living naturally in the supernatural, that we'll be talking about in Power Convention, that's what we're talking about. How you apply the supernatural in the so-called mundane, secular things of life. You have to walk and live by faith. Can I have an amen? Don't do your job and just think it's a job. If you're a carpenter, you have to believe God. Every nail goes in straight. Can I have an amen? You know, you can be a carpenter and you knock the nail and then the nail bends. And then when you try to straighten it, it broke. Then you need a second nail. A second nail means that your profit is reducing. You know, so you have to believe God for everything. And the design, we have about 5 buildings within the complex that we have designed to build. We got enough funds to build, as a whole, that if we could start and finish now in 3 weeks, we can build two buildings. You know, that's how much God did. And as of yesterday, I was still having another meeting on a proposal, and the people were talking like this, and saying that we would like to close this out and sign a contract before the year runs out. So I told myself after, I said, correct. That's one done. Hallelujah. So God's been good. And even today, just before I left the office, I've just been very busy. So I saw a mail, you know, from an organization, which is like the top in science, and they were saying, you know, blind copied people and said, look, respond by tomorrow, basically, if you haven't responded to this mail we sent a number of days ago, which was an award, a honor, you know, from the organization. And I thought, look, we nominated people, and I was the one signing the nominations, but not me. So I had to write the lady because I needed to know that, look, maybe she was copying me so that I could follow up with those people. And I wanted to know that, okay, if it's the case, you need to tell me now, even though everything is still confidential, you need to tell me that this person and this person have not responded. I can give them calls and say, please respond to them. And then, I said, well, why are you sending this to me? Who are the people? And he said, you for one. So I thought, Mike. I wasn't even nominated as far as I know, you know. But apparently, God is just so good. Amen. God is just so good. God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 20. And you know, one of the things with that also is this, is that when you do things, don't do them for personal reasons. I mean, years ago, I was chairing the Association of Public Health Physicians in Lagos. And I remember one morning, the Commissioner for Health called me and said, look, we need you to nominate people to the board, to nominate 2 people who will be on boards of agencies in Lagos State. So I said, okay, I'll get back to you. So I thought about it, and I nominated 2 people. Then I called him back, and I said, these are the 2 people I'm nominating, you know, from within our association, of course. These are the 2 people I'm nominating. Then the man said to me, well, okay, thank you for this one. He said, but this second one you nominated, we already have something that we want him to do. He said, so you'll need to replace him, get somebody else. I said, okay. I knew that they knew themselves very well. It's much senior to me. So I said, no problem. But then I'd spoken to the 2 people, of course, before I nominated them to say, look, I was asked to do this and I want to nominate you. So I got back to this other person and I said, look, in fact, when I spoke to him earlier, he told me, he said, I'm not sure that it will work. He said, because they already want me to do something. I said, well, they didn't tell me that. I said, so let me make my own nomination. So I did. And truly the man said, look, we already have something for that person. Get somebody else. And I said, okay, sir. So I went back and I called the man again and said, oh, you are right, because he told me exactly what you said. I said, but I've been cracking my head. I'm not sure who I can nominate in your place, you know, instead. And the man looked at me and said, what are you talking about? What about you? So I said, sir, if somebody asks me to nominate people because I'm the chair of the association, it is wrong. I'm saying that for a reason, that we need to understand ethics. You understand? So I said, it is wrong for me to now put myself. When I used to work in Oyo State, you know, and at the point I was on the executives of the Association of Doctors in Oyo State Employment. And we had some people who sat in that executive for years. And every time they will ask them, you know, some were Muslim, they will ask them, nominate, in fact, the chair and Kenekon were Muslim. They will ask them, we have 4 slots for you to go to Mecca. Each year they were going to the Mecca. They kept repeating Mecca each year, and members of the association had not been once. You understand? So you don't do those kind of things. So the man said, what about you? So I said, no, sir. I was asked to nominate people. If he wanted me, he should have said so. He should have said, I want to put you on something, but bring somebody else. I said, but he didn't say that. He said, nominate two people. I said, it is wrong for me to do that. The man laughed. He said, you know, this thing you are doing, people don't do that anymore. These ethics have been lost. He said, it's not done anymore this way. He said, it's really good. He said, but there are very few people who do this kind of thing you are doing. I said, well, sir, that's what I believe, and that's what I will stand by. So then he suggested somebody else, and I nominated somebody. Okay? So I'm saying that because I also believe that one of the things that will happen, you know, out of this place, out of this ministry, is that God will raise a lot of leaders. You know, a lot of people who will get in places politically, secularly, and all of that. And when you get there, you're supposed to take your righteousness there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Take your righteousness there. Don't join the people and behave the way they behave. Do it differently. Even when they say, this is your own chance, so this is your own chance, so don't worry. God is your chance. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We're going to do a bit of some long readings, but I want to speak about the planter's right to harvest. The planter's right to harvest. The planter's right to harvest. I think we are in difficult times globally. Don't ever assume that these are tough times. Nigeria is so hard. The whole world is so hard. That's the truth of the matter. Don't believe that it's just Nigeria. And I believe that that's one of the big errors people are making. You know, some people are meant to, because when things get like that also, when there was persecution in the book of Acts, people were dispersed. God uses it for a purpose, you know, to spread his word. And that's why we started online. You know, we started what we call Compass Fellowship, basically online. For some of the people who are in diaspora, that's why you don't hear us saying anything. It's an online meeting, but the idea is to getting people to refocus and understand that while you may have whatever reason, economic or whatever reason why you thought you went, God has a purpose. You know, and you need to align with God's purpose overall. So there's a reason why, I mean, when times get tough, things like that happen. Okay? But when they happen, God wants to achieve something as well. Are you with me? But then those who don't know that and just think that once you get out of the shores of Nigeria, things will be everything, all your problems are solved, they will be shocked. Are you with me? They will be shocked. I mean, I was telling my wife that I was watching on TV, even when I was here, I was watching on TV, that the fast food restaurant, you know, they were trying to describe the challenges of inflation they were facing. And they said for the first time in over 10 years, the fast food restaurant increased the price of its hamburger, which is the standard smallest burger they sell. They said that price is like the Rock of Gibraltar. It doesn't move. You know, it is just there. That price, £1, what was it? He said it is just there. That price doesn't change. It has not changed in 10 years. They said, so for the first time in 10 years, that price increased. They said, well, I don't eat that. It means they can't even sustain that one anymore, no matter what else they bring on board. And I said, almost every week, she goes to buy milk that the price has changed. Virtually every week, the price changes. And that is changes upwards. So there are tough times everywhere. But one of the problems with tough times like that is that people tend to think of how to, you know, what things to change, which is important. Can I have an amen? There are lifestyle changes you make when things are tough or tougher. However, one of the things you should not change is your giving. Are you with me? One of the things you should not change is your giving. Are you still there? Now, because again, when we start talking about how you increase, people will think about all kinds of investment. Okay? But one sure way to increase, in fact, think of giving as an investment. Think of giving as an investment. When I was in secondary school, we had a guy. As far as I was concerned, his father had died, his mother had died, his uncles had died. Almost everybody who could help him had died. You know, because those were all the stories he used to tell us in order to collect our pocket money from us. You understand? He will come today and tell you, oh, this has happened. Then I need some money. So you take your small pocket money and give it to him. But people like that you see, they never prosper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm pointing it out to say that if getting is the way to prosper, then he should have made such a person very wealthy. But you find out that person is still always coming to you to collect. Are you with me? Somebody said the giver's hand is always on top. So there's something about collecting and collecting and collecting that doesn't work. And that's what the Bible teaches. When I was in university, when I would go home, you know, along the line, God told me even that, look, don't even ask for your pocket money. He said, I want to teach you how to live by faith. So I'll just wait, of course, and just trust my father to remember when he remembers to give me money. Okay? But it got to a state that I realized, in my 100 level, that when I go home and I get money, it's like some people just know that this guy has money now. And they just show up with all kinds of requests. And before you know it, I've given. And one day I was grumbling. Because I would think about it. The Bible says when somebody comes and asks from you, what did he say? One coat, Abi, give him twin. How many people ever read that in your Bible? Years ago, I did a teaching called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. There are some things that are very hard that he said that they are not very pleasant. They slap you on one cheek, turn to the other. How many people have heard several people dissecting that scripture? I know that many of them, when they are dissecting, it's because they are not happy with it. Isn't it? They are not happy. It doesn't literally mean, the Greek doesn't mean the... Because we are thinking, how to you turn the other cheek? No way. I can't be that stupid. Are you there? Say, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't mean I'm stupid. So what does it really mean? Are you with me? What does it really mean? Okay? So we have to come to the place where we understand that we have to live by the scriptures. Okay? So Acts chapter 20, let's begin to look in the Bible, verse 32. Acts 20, I read from verse 32. Okay, it says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So you know where we got that from, huh? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted, this is Paul speaking, I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands are provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said. The words of who? That he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm sure it's probably crossed some people's minds that was a mistake. The way it was written, that it's supposed to be, it's more blessed to receive than to give. I'm sure some people have taught it before and tried to Greek it. You know, to see whether the Greek words will switch it around. If you know what I'm talking about, that it's more blessed to receive than to give. But one of the first things, and one of the things I've laid down, if you followed all the stories and all of that, is that those who focus on getting don't seem to change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't seem to change for the better. It looks like they always need to keep getting and obtaining from somebody. Even if you think that, oh, that guy has obtained so much that he bought a nice car. He still has to obtain somebody. You know the word obtain. He still has to obtain somebody to maintain the car. So it's not as if he has become sufficient. It still looks like he always has to keep finding a way to get out of people in order to be able to stand by himself. Or to sustain or to manage what he has in his hands. Are you with me? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So those are my actual two foundational scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read from verse 6. So the first one, though Paul was speaking, what I want you to see is that Paul emphasized. He said, look, I was laboring with my hands. What he was saying to those people is this, is that I had the opportunity as the minister, as the man of God, as the apostle, I had the opportunity to have been taken from you. There's nothing wrong with taking, because even Paul himself says you should support the weak. Meaning that there are times when some people would need things and you shouldn't be ashamed of, I need it at this point in time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you need help at a point in time, you should not be ashamed to receive help. However, you should have your faith antenna up to say that I will not always be needing help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You should have your faith antenna up to say, by the grace of God, by this time next year, I will not need this again. I will actually be one of those, because, for instance, when you go to church, I found people who criticize churches and say, look, they just have money, they just do this, they just do that, they just buy a car, buy a jet, buy a jeep, buy. And I say, look, what they do to help people, you have no clue about. Are you with me, anybody? And if they are scriptural, they are not likely to publicize it. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are not likely to come on stage. So when you see those ones who do big cardboard check, and they are handing it over and they are showing it on TV, and they say, church, it's not Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? Totally unscriptural. Or they call people out and say, we are going to bless you 500,000. Then they bring out a bundle in front of everybody. And it's not scriptural. Huh? What you do is meant to be done with some confidentiality, as much as possible, as much as it's practical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I was telling somebody then, they were talking about some churches, and I said, look, even we, as not a mega church, I know how much is being done, but which most people don't have a clue about. I said, not to talk of the churches you are pointing at. I can imagine how much budget goes into this and that and helping people out, but they are not. They should not come on stage and be telling us we gave. You know, when I was young, what's the name of this man now? Oh, he used to be on TV on Friday night. Eh? Shama Shad. Shama Shad. So he will sit there. It was a Muslim cleric. He will sit. He will stand like this. They will televised. And all the people are sitting down. And he's preaching. Man said, huh? This one now. When you came that time, you were wretched. Were you not wretched? Man said, I was wretched, sir. You know, you were wretched. But we gave you a motorcycle. I mean, did we not give you a motorcycle? He said, yes, I gave you a motorcycle. Now, you can't do that as a Christian. Are you with me? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But it's more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. You know what the word blessed means? It means empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. Empowered to make progress. So it's more empowering to make progress when you give than when you are receiving. Okay? It's more empowering. You are empowering yourself to make progress when you give, rather than when you receive. When you receive, you receive. It's fine, it's okay. But to actually make progress and to be empowered to make progress, your giving does a lot more for you. Can I have an amen? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one, I think that's clear enough, isn't it? He who sows sparingly, we reap sparingly. Okay, that means it comes in the same measure. Okay, it means that you have to remember what I'm talking about, the planter's right to harvest. If you want, I think I was talking to Mr. Sare the other day, and I said, look, why do you want to have so many chickens? You know, why? Why should you have so many chickens? And he said, because there's a projection of how many eggs and all that, so we must have that number of chickens in order to get this kind of productivity, in order to match up with the feasibility of the business plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's based on, it means what? What he's investing is based on what he's expecting to harvest. Are you hearing me? What you invest depends on what you expect to harvest. I was trying to try out a new investment recently. And, you know, they'll tell you can, you know, earn as much as this when you invest. I say, so the guy, when we did interview, the guy said, so how much would you like to invest? I said, I like to start at the lowest. I like to start. I said, especially for something I don't know. I said, so this is my first time dealing in this terrain. I have no clue how this terrain really works. I mean, I have an idea. You put some of the money in stocks and shares and this and that. I said, I have some ideas. I said, but I've never done it this way before. I said, so when I try to do that kind of thing, I do small. So when I see how the small is working, I want to be taking it. So that I'll first collect my capital back. Then I said, yeah, let's try it now. Let's try. At that point in time, I know that anything else is profit. So you get what I'm saying? But the point is this. You look at the harvest. That's what the scripture is saying here. Okay? That you look at the harvest and it determines what you begin to plant. Can I have an amen? Verse 7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? Again, please note that by interpretation, he didn't say that if I sowed it and it's grudging, it doesn't mean it's not going to germinate. Are we reading the Bible? Are we reading the Bible? Is that what you see in there? He said the reason why you give it not grudgingly is because God loves. Okay? He's not talking about the harvest. Are you still with me? Have you ever given, you know, money before? He shook you. If you know what I mean. He shook you. You were thinking, God. You were God. You led me to give that money. God. Okay? He's saying God loves a cheerful giver. He didn't say you will not get your harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, you are too quiet. Are you hearing me? And one of the reasons why I'm emphasizing that is not for any reason, other than to get you to see Bible interpretation. That when the Bible says something, don't hard to eat what it did not say. Are you following what I'm saying? That's all. That's the only reason why I'm emphasizing that. It's not for any other reason. It's just to help you see that what you are reading in there, even in the context of verse 6, they are separate entities. Verse 6 lays a rule or a law down in place and says, he that sows bountifully reaps bountifully, he that rows sparingly will reap sparingly. And then verse 7 says, what? There's no connection. It says, so let each one give, okay, as he proposes in his heart, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. That's the love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, so verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency. Sorry, I wanted to point out something else again to you. This is Thursday's Bible study, really. Are you still there? Okay, so when you look at the words in verse 7, the first few two words, what are they? If you have a King James or a New King James, what are they? So let. Are they, what do they look like? Normal, italicized? Huh? Italics. What does italics mean? In the Bible, what does it mean? It means it was not in the original script. Are you getting me? It was not in the original script. It was added by the translators in order to improve the reading and the interpretation, hopefully. That is the translators thought, if we put these two words, it will help people to read it better. Okay? But sometimes when you are studying like that, take out the two words also and see. What does it do to it? Okay, because the two words have a tendency to confuse you and think that verse 7 means that you are cheerful every time you sow a seed, and that's the only time you are going to reap a harvest. Are you getting what I'm saying? The word sow will make you think so, but remove it and see. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are two different things. One talks about what you reap is equivalent to what you sow. The second one says how you sow makes God happy. Are you still there? You are still tired. Okay, good. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, the real reason why I came to this scripture is that last phrase. That you may have what? An abundance for every good work. What am I saying? That God is interested in you giving to everything good. So that when we start talking about giving, it's not just your offering or your tithe and all of that. Think about every seed that you sow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every seed you sow. Somebody you gave money to because he needed transport fare. There's a seed. Don't just believe God over the one you put in church. Are you hearing me? There's a planter's right to harvest. And that is that every time you give, every time you sow, every time it leaves your hand in order to bless somebody else or something else, then you are entitled to a harvest. That's what the scripture teaches. Are you still there? If you give to the poor, let's read a few scriptures. So maybe we can establish what I'm trying to say to you. Okay, so you give, one of the giving is what? You give to ministers. Okay? And one of the things I wish people did, for instance, well, when we had a guest minister, that people just sow something. Person is a blessing to you, sow something into their lives. Okay? It doesn't have to be money. You have a nice pen. You have, sow something to the person's life. Be a blessing to them. Okay? Matthew 10 says that when you give a cup of water to a prophet, because he's a prophet, he said you reap the prophet's reward. Okay? And my reason for saying that is simple. Remember what we're talking about, that every time you sow a seed, not just in church, but inclusive of that one, stretch your faith out. As a matter of fact, your giving should be diverse. If all the giving you ever do is in church, it's not good for you. Can I have an amen? You know, the in school they taught us what? Hi, Oga Farmer. They taught us what? That you have to farm multiple crops. I mean, what do you call it? It has benefit. How many people? They talk about monocropping and. Kai, who went to school here? It's called dicoted. It's not. Okay, but idea is neat. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, and it taught us that you could, if you say, this is my plot of land, and all you are doing is planting maize every year is not good. You have to plant different kinds of crops that help to replenish the land itself and helps to determine the yield. Okay? And that when you have different types of crops, it also ensures that there are certain insects and diseases that can attack certain plants but will not attack the other one. And if there was such an outbreak, then you are not completely wiped out either. Are you with me? We're talking about that with seed, okay? Because, for instance, I was thinking, preachers. Just to be able to get people to give. You say offering is seed. I say, where is offering as seed in the Bible? Anybody knows? Where is offering as seed in the Bible? This has gone quiet. We just read it now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When it starts talking about he that sows, what do you sow? Seed. But you know, in all honesty, I was just thinking about it that day, and I was thinking, God, you know, we all just get on bandwagon sometimes, and we all just say some things. And I was thinking to myself, okay, seed is a nice marketing term to use, so that people will give offering. I said, it's a very good marketing term. I said, but where is it in the Bible? And God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he that sows. But that you're giving indeed is seed. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:7 says that don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. One translation says, a man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. A man's harvest in life depends entirely on the seeds that he sows. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is trying to tell us that you have to put in different seeds in the soil. Can I have an amen? I mean, so we'll give an example of giving to ministers, for instance. Are you with me? There's an example of what you give to your parents. Are you there? There's a harvest. Every giving attracts a harvest. Every giving. And, well, maybe that's not for tonight, but let me also say that when you give money or whatever it is that you want to call it, and you give it as a seed, your harvest is not only money. Are you hearing me? When Solomon stood and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to God, God appeared to him and he said what? Ask what you will. He didn't say you get 1,000,000 rams. He said, ask what you will. So his harvest was a blank check. What do you want? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the seed you sow is not always just about money. That's why Oral Roberts used to teach and say, name your seed. And what he was saying is that when you plant the seed, tell God what you want. Are you still there? But my point is this, in the planter's right to harvest, is that every time you are sowing, there is a harvest you are entitled to. Sometimes the harvest is stated clearly in the Bible what you will get. For instance, when you sow seeds to your parents. I mean, what happens with that one? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it said, honor your father and your mother, which is what? The first commandment with a promise. And what is that? So that your days may be long and it may be well with you. That's your harvest. Claim that harvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say, well, that word honor there is about respect and valuing your parents. Correct, it is. Are you with me? That's what that word honor means there. It's a slightly different word from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, where it says that let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. If you look at the context of that one, and the word used for honor there, it means be counted worthy of double pay. And what was he saying there? And that's why I believe very well that a church or a ministry should treat the pastor well. Pay him well if he's on his salary. Don't sit there and say there's a board. And the board is always arguing, why should the pastor have that much money? Why should we pay him that kind of salary? Why? No. What does a pastor want to do with more than 50,000 naira? Are you getting what I'm saying? If the church can afford him, pay him well. Take good care of him. Look, every time they have ever said to me, we want to increase pay. The only question I ask is it affordable? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I get people, they ask me, we want to increase pay. I said, can you afford it? They say, yeah. I said, go ahead. Because let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Are you there? So, but the word honor there means pay, okay? However, in Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus was saying that the one that says that what I would have given to my parents, I have given it to as an offering in church, and he said that was wrong, Jesus quoted honor your father and your mother, meaning that honor of valuing and respecting them includes blessing them with stuff. I'm not opening all of those scriptures because of time. Are you there? Okay, but I want to get somewhere else entirely because I don't want to make it into a series. But are you still with me? Are you still happy? I'm saying that in this season, what you don't want to do is stop your giving. Okay? And realize also that everything you do, every how you bless people, every time you are giving, and you should be giving to all kinds of good causes, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when it's a good cause and you want to do it, do it. But when you do it, so even if it's a Rotary Club or whatever and all of that, is it right? I've asked somebody asked that question before. Is it right, you know, for it to be doing all of those kind of things and activities and putting your money there? It is right. If it's a good cause, it is right. Can I have an amen? It doesn't substitute for the gospel, but it is right and good. What do I mean by it doesn't substitute for the gospel? You can't go to a community and all you do is build toilets, build top borehole, and not preach the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All that will happen is that they will have their baths. They will not smell. Their clothes will be clean. But they will go to hell. Are you with me? So the good deeds, the philanthropic deeds, can never substitute for the preaching of the gospel. So what you give for one should not replace the other. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, but then, you know, people begin to wonder, so what do I do? And some think that, okay, in giving, you know, I would give more when things are good for me. When I have my dream job, when my income reaches the dream level. How many people have a dream level of income? What would you call your dream level? What's your dream level? When you can buy her a private jet. What about maintenance? you know there's the scripture that says when riches increase, they increase that consume it. Have you read that before in the book of Proverbs? When it increases, they increase that consume it. So, and why am I saying that? Because when people keep planning for, I will start doing these things later when I am this or I am that, it's not likely to happen. Okay? It's not likely to happen. Because at that time, after you have now bought the jet, you say, Pastor, I would have given that money for that new building. But the maintenance of that jet, in fact, is consuming all the money. But once maybe I have enough saved up to maintain it for 5 years, then I can now channel the other resources towards it. In 5 years, you then say, Pastor, you see, actually, it's true that I said that. But the jet now is old. So they are saying that I need to change the engine or just buy a new one entirely, you know, for the business. So I know I said, I didn't forget. Honestly, Pastor, I never forgot that I promised that I would do that. Okay? So the goalposts keep shifting. If there's a planter's right to harvest, it means that I need to start putting seed in the ground. Can I have an amen? So the question is, what do I do? How do I start? The first most important step is not the giving, but is the wanting to give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The first most important step is, do you really want to do it? Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you really have that desire? You need to get to that place, pray about it, fast about it, believe God's word about it, to you get to that place where you want to be, and your absolute desire is to be a giver. Where you are dreaming of how you can give more than you are giving, or how you can start to give if you have not been given. Let's open the Bible. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. No, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, am I right? Okay, so let's first look at that because we're already there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll read again verse 10. Okay, so further emphasizes the word seed, isn't it? Verse 10 says, now may he who supplies what? Seed. Remember the context. The context is what? Giving. So again, giving is called what? Seed directly. Apart from the word sowing being used, the word seed is used. Okay? Now, he says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. What I want you to see is this. He says God gives seed to the sower. Why is the guy a sower if he doesn't have seed? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You said you give seed to the sower. So he didn't have seed before you identified him as a sower. And then God says, I give seed to the sower. Is this still confusing? Huh? So because the man is a sower, he is a giver. He wants to give. God will keep giving him the seed to give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because at heart he's a sower. That's who he is. That's if you dissect his heart, that's who he is. Maybe he's just giving 5 naira now, but inside his heart, every time they say there's something to give or something to do, he wants to give towards it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when I was in school, they said, oh, they wanted to build the church. And I don't remember how much the budget was, but they wanted to build a church. Okay, and that was our church. And they said people should pledge. I was in secondary school, so I also pledged. I also raised my hand. My pledge was 60 naira. I pledged 60 naira faithfully by the grace of God towards this multi-million naira building project. I wrote my name, I signed, I put 60 naira. Okay, and I dropped it there. And I was serious. Okay, because 60 naira was going to be a significant portion of my money, my pocket money per week. In fact, 60 naira doesn't reach, I have to spread it over 6 weeks. That was my plan. Okay, my plan was, my 60 naira is going to come out of my pocket money for 6 weeks. Okay, so 6 weeks, I'll take a chunk out of it. That chunk means that for, maybe you can help me. How much was meat pie? It was what? 50 kobo. Was it 50 kobo? How much was coke? No. ISI. 5 naira. Uh-huh. Was which one? Coke was 5 naira. So, 60. What did I say it was now? 60 naira. So, coke was 5 naira. So, you can, just to help you take it back to the day. Okay? So how much was my pocket money? I don't even remember. But it was a significant portion of my pocket money, which meant that I would not have break money. You know break money. Break time, nothing for you. For about 2 or 3 days of the week at the minimum, I will not be able to afford any snacks. Okay? But that was my vow. I vowed it. And I gave it to God faithfully. But guess what? All of those 6 weeks, as far as I can remember, God bearing me witness, I enjoyed myself. Okay? I enjoyed myself. Why? Because I was a sower. So God was giving me seed. I was still getting, somehow, I was getting by. I was not feeling sorry for myself. I wasn't sitting down at break time and crying and feeling like, oh, I'm suffering already. God took care of me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, some of the weeks I had money to buy chocolate. Not the meat pie for break and all that. Chocolate on the way home. God was good and is still good. Can I have an amen? I remember also around that time when I started to tithe. Okay? And that will speak to something else. I was talking about what? God gives seed. You first, where to start is being a sower. Okay? Look at another scripture and we'll talk about something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So go back one page if you have it. One flip if it's an electronic Bible or whatever you want to call it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay? And that will buttress what I just tried to describe to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So if you think, oh, that's a stretch of scriptural interpretation, it's fine. Look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. It said, for if there is first what? A willing mind. It is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. It means what? It means that the first thing God is looking for is that willing mind. So, if there's an offering of sorts or whatever it is, or giving of sorts anywhere, and people are putting in and pledging 50,000 naira, and I pledge my 60 naira, I should pledge it with all joy and happiness and confidence. Can I have an amen? Because if there's a willing mind, it is acceptable to God. If there be first, can I hear you say first? So the first thing to God is a willing mind. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move on. Number two. So we're talking about what? Where to start. You want to be a sower, where to start? Give at your level. Okay, so again, everybody's giving whatever it is. It doesn't matter. God thinks in fractions. Okay, not in whole amounts or whole numbers. God thinks in fractions. God assesses your giving in fractions, not in all amounts. What do I mean? The people came, is it Luke chapter 12? Or where was it? think, is it Luke 12, 1 or Mark 12? The people were coming and they were giving their offering. The Bible says Jesus sat by the treasury, isn't it? And was looking at all what they were putting in. And then all of a sudden, he called the disciples, come. He said, see what that woman put in there. He said, that woman gave more than everybody else. But it was nothing other than 2 mites. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was just 2 mites. And yet, he was so excited about it, he called the disciples and said, hey, look at that. That woman gave more than everybody else. And you look at 2 mites, you look puzzled. You know, so the disciples will look at you and say, I bow. 2 mites. And then he said, 4. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave all that she had. What was he saying? He was saying there were larger amounts in there. Okay? People were putting in 1,000 naira, putting in 500 naira. Some had the bundle and it was 5,000 naira. It was, 10,000 naira they put in there. He said, but this woman who put in 5 naira, Jesus said, she gave more than they all because she gave all what she had, but they out of their abundance basically gave what they wouldn't miss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he was looking at the fraction. He was looking at what do they have and how much out of what they have did they put down. So your 50 naira may be well worth more than my 5,000. You get what I'm saying? So never be ashamed of your seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Never be ashamed of your seed. Your seed may be more valuable than what the big man gave. Can I have an amen? It may actually be larger as far as God is concerned. Okay? I mean, that's Mark 12, if you look at it. Now, look at Luke 16. So, give at your level. Okay, Luke 16. I'm trying to wrap up now. Luke 16, are you there yet? Luke 16 and verse 10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So that speaks to what I was saying earlier. That if you won't do it now, you won't do it then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say, oh, no, pastor. In fact, you know, I want to give tithes, but what I have saved is not enough. The money doesn't last me 1 week. How can I give tithe out of that? It doesn't last you anyway. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, keeping that one, has it elongated it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we are saying that one has a potential because it's a seed. Has a potential to multiply. Okay? And remember what I'm saying. Number 2 is what? Give at your level. Start doing it at your level. Don't postpone. Say, when I have, it won't happen. No. Okay? I always like to tell people that it's much easier to give a tithe of 10,000 naira than it is to give a tithe of 1 million. Abi Mokbaro? When you bring a tithe of 10,000, how much does that mean you just got? Huh? No, 10,000. No. If you give the tithe of 10,000, it means 100,000 just came into your hands. Okay? Now, if you are going to give a tithe of 1 million, how much came into your hands? 10 million. So it's 10 million that came into your hands. Okay, that's why you give a tithe of 1 million. But do you know that when 10 million comes into your hand, you suddenly realize that, 1 million, that will mean 1 million, say, we pay my rent. What do they even need it for in church? That's when you start beginning to come up with philosophy and analysis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What do they even need it for? I mean, because even in fact, if I put it into this business, I can multiply it and then I'll have more to come and give in church later. It's easier to release 10,000 than to sit down and write a check for 1 million and say, this is it. What does that mean? Start doing it now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I started giving tithes, you know, it was also from secondary school, and I get pocket money and all of that. And every time money came into my hand, so if I got 50 naira, I'll take out 5 naira. It was that small. I'll take out 5 naira. And then at the point, I wanted to be sure that I was doing what I decided to do. So I would wait because, I won't go to church midweek. I know I'm going to church on Sunday, but money just came into my hands. 50 naira just came. So I had an envelope where I would take 5 naira out immediately and I would go and keep it in that envelope. And one of those days, I remember I sat and I just removed money and put it there. And I got a harvest very quickly. And I was talking to God and I said, why? I said, that money I've only determined that I'm going to give it. I'm not giving it. He said, no, you've already given it as far as I'm concerned. It's not dropped in the offering bag, but you've given it. Because your heart has released it. And to be sure that by no mistake will I spend it, I've already separated it. Are you there? You're not looking too happy. Okay, last point. So give regularly. Okay? That's the other thing. You want to become a giver, give regularly. That means set, you know, targets of things to do. You have questions. Give regularly. Okay? One of the things I say to people, for instance, even about tithes, forget all the theological arguments, forget all of that, is that I say to people that one of the things that it does for you, okay, is that it helps you to become a regular giver. It's almost like somebody was saying, you know, to me years ago, he said, I pray when I'm led. I read my Bible when I'm led. He said, in fact, I prayed so much, I've read the Bible so much, that if I don't do so for the rest of my life, what I've already consumed will carry me. Now, lie, oh. Now, lie, oh. Eh? There's a scripture in Proverbs. I'll have to tell you that. It says, you will stray from the words of knowledge if you don't keep hearing it. Okay? It doesn't work like that. So, one of the things it does for you is that it trains you to become a regular giver. So you have to have certain things that you give regularly. You have to structure your life in such a way that there must be an outflow from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There can be some spontaneity, but have some outflow. Have an account where you put some money in. That when I want to be a blessing to people, I'm just putting the money there. I'm just putting the money there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That, I mean, you have the one you tithe offering. I have the one I send to that day. I have the one I send to auntie. I have the one I send to that person because I've determined to help that person regularly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then I have miscellaneous where I put some money in case something happens and somebody says, this, and I want to help. So I'm talking about being regular, having a plan. Having a plan to give regularly, that it's a regular thing. And how does that help you? Ecclesiastes 11, I will close on that one. Ecclesiastes 11. And maybe you can stand on your feet, so we'll just close on that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, read from verse 1. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Okay? If you ever put your bread inside Bombita or when you were young, eh? I know that most of the children now don't know this thing we're talking about. But when you take correct agege bread, you dip it inside your cocoa drink, eh? It multiplies. And when it comes to your mouth, some people are getting hungry like that, you know. So when he says, cast your bread on the waters, it comes back swollen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe many days, but it doesn't come back the same. Hallelujah. It says now, listen to this. This is now the instruction. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Meaning, look, if the giving keeps happening, evaporation, if it keeps happening, water fills up in the sky, it will pour. Okay, that's what it's saying. Keep putting it out. When it gets full, it will pour. Hallelujah. In the place where the tree falls, there shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. That's where I started from tonight, if you remember, which is that the environment, the situation, will try to say to you, you need to not stop all this giving that you do. Don't stop it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Don't do it. The situation will try to tell you, stop everything. Don't stop everything. Listen, what you have is not enough. Stopping it won't make it enough. Hallelujah. It says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind. So don't, it says, the man who observes the wind will not put in the ground. And if you are that way also, there definitely you will not reap. That's what it's telling you. Okay? As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So what is the final instruction? In the morning, do what? Sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So it's not saying just throw out everything you have. I tell people, you are not the savior of the world. And you can't solve everybody's problem. Okay, so everybody coming, it's not, you can't solve everybody's problem, but you should not also try to hoard and sit on everything, because you'd be doing yourself harm. Hallelujah. And ensure that you have given. That's what we're saying. Ensure that you are giving regularly, and ensure that you believe God for a harvest on all. Can I hear you say all? On all of your giving, whether it's in church or elsewhere, on all of your giving, as long as seed is leaving your hand, believe God for a mighty harvest. Can I have an amen? It's the planter's right to harvest. Father, we give you thanks tonight. We give you praise tonight. Thank you, because indeed we are like the tree that's planted by the riverside. Our leaves will not wither. Thank you, Lord, because indeed, even in these times, we declare that some of the seeds we've sown in time past, they germinate even now. And the seeds we are sowing now, some germinate quickly, some germinate mid-time, some germinate long-time. But we declare that we are taken care of. We declare that the seeds we sow, they produce for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Most High. In Jesus' name.